Hi, Roy. Thanks for joining me. I wanted to get you on the line today because I want to talk to you about how you're helping your clients achieve accelerated growth in their businesses. I really have heard great things about what you're doing, and you have a new program out there that helps clients achieve $10 million growth over a three-year period, and it sounds pretty exciting. So I'm hoping that today you're going to be able to walk me through the process, and we're going to be able to hear all about how that's working, and I'm looking forward to the experience. So
Excellent.
thanks.
And I'm glad that you have joined my team for this because, you know, I know that you have about 3 decades yourself of business building experience and selling and marketing experience. And I think together we can kind of walk through this process. And I of course have my successes with my clients that I want to talk about just to inform the value of the processes and strategies and principles that I use. And I think that you are also able to draw from your extensive business growth background in helping me to flesh out these concepts so that the folks who listen to this are able to really understand how this applies in their business. So I think first off, and you know, feel free at any point, Diane, to interject here, but as you know, we kind of laid out the context and the outline for this call ahead of time to make sure that we cover all this information. The first thing that I wanted to do is kind of walk through some of what might be considered credibility elements or proof elements, because I recognize that it's a tall order, I suppose, to claim that I can go into a $5 million plus business and add $10 million of profitable growth over 3 years. And you know, this could be a business that's already growing and just wants to accelerate that growth and promising growth above and beyond their current trend line. It may be a business that's grown okay, but has started to stagnate. And those businesses apply too. You know, breaking out of what's stagnating you, breaking you out of whatever market limitations are holding you back. Or it could be a business that, you know, that started to turn for the worse and you want to pick things back up. Well, what I'm talking about is adding this growth above and beyond whatever the trend line is, if you are interested in growth. So in the context of who I am and where I come from and how I can make bold claims about growing a business, I think one of the most interesting stories is one that you know, Diane, from last year, my help with a very large event in the direct response marketing community called the Titans of Direct Response. And what that was is my friend and colleague, Brian Kurtz, who runs or who was deeply involved in building the company Boardroom Inc., who a lot of folks know for their bottom line personal and bottom health brands, from a seven-figure business up to a $150 million plus business, decided that he was going to put on an event last year that would feature the biggest direct response and business building experts, direct response marketing and business building experts that helped him build that business from, it was about $8 million when he joined the team, up to $150 million a year. And
so these were pretty powerful guys, is what you're saying.
They're really considered, so direct response marketing, it's not really well known. We should define this, I suppose, at the very beginning. Direct response marketing is marketing that actually goes out into the market to targeted customers, approaches them one-on-one, so we're not necessarily talking billboards or anything like that, and tries to get them to make some sort of response. If you need to generate leads for your business, it generates leads for your business. If you need to make a first sale, it makes a first sale. If you need to go back to your current customer base with a new offer, it goes back to your current customer base with a new offer. And, you know, this can be something as simple as a coupon for McDonald's breakfast meal in the newspaper, or it can be something far more complex. And these are the very top people in that industry that are working today, and I suppose at least a couple that have now retired and are no longer doing any client work. But it's Dan Kennedy, who's internationally known for his speaking and for his No BS books. Greg Rinker, who built the Guthrie Rinker brand that includes Proactive, the world's leading acne treatment. Gary Bensavinga, who's less known outside our little industry, who is, he was known as the world's greatest living copywriter. I mean, what he wrote consistently generated profits, generated response, built multiple businesses in the tens of millions and beyond. Let's see, Jay Abraham, who is known as the $9 billion man. I guess it's about 9.4 now. who has applied direct response principles to help build, to take Icy Hot from obscurity to a nationally known over-the-counter drugstore brand. He
wow.
helped FedEx. Yeah. he rescued it with one idea.
And he also did something with FedEx, you said?
Yeah, he helped FedEx triple their business. He was deeply involved in, as I understand it, the when it absolutely positively has to be their overnight guarantee. I actually had lunch with him at Titans. And, so this is the caliber of people that were there. Perry Marshall, who's a Nebraska native, who is the world's most quoted expert on Google AdWords, but his skill set goes well beyond that. Ken McCarthy, who taught internet marketing back in 1994 in Silicon Valley, and who many of today's top internet marketing gurus and experts learned from. And he's actually
a really impressive list of people.
Yeah. And a lot of folks outside of our industry may not recognize a lot of these names, but the fact is direct response is responsible for about $2 trillion of sales in the United States every year. So it's a major part of our national economy. And that's just marketing that goes out and requests a response and gets it. And these are the very top of that industry.
And so you were invited by Brian to do something?
Yeah. So Brian has access to all these people and to some degree a lot of them weighed in on the marketing process of that. But ultimately, Brian needed a marketing program put together for this conference, and Brian, because of my relationship with him, reached out to me and asked me to put together the marketing for this. And this included strategy, it included some marketing copy, it included a lot of things. And I did that with him, and I will take some of the credit because my marketing did receive praise from some of the speakers at the event, some of my personal heroes, but it also filled the room with 250 of the world's best marketers, just in the audience as well as on stage. And there's a guy named Richard Vigory who is there. He invented conservative political direct mail. Maybe not invented, but he is the name. Joe Polish, who does the I Love Marketing podcast, he was there. I got to have dinner and lunch with him.
So you're saying basically any of these people could have been tasked to do the marketing for this program, but you were selected because of how well you have been doing in the industry so far, and how well
yeah.
you have been performing, and how well your copy and how well your marketing strategies have excelled and have
yeah.
been really bringing it home. And in addition to the faith that they put into you, you actually performed and outperformed on this event.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. Now, this was a very premium level event, and I want to get on because I do have a lot of other clients too. But this was basically it ended up being, in terms of revenue generated, about $1 million event. There was no Titans brand before this. Brian has gone on and is now leading the Titans marketing brand, which was basically created from scratch as part of this event, and selling the DVDs to the event. But also, he's built an entire business around this. I can't discount a lot of other people's contribution to making this event what it was. But ultimately, Brian reached out to me for a reason. He applauded me from the stage. Actually, he got the entire audience to applaud for me because of the marketing that brought them all together. And, maybe the most impactful thing for me is how many people I'm still hearing from indirectly and directly who that event and the direct marketing principles that were shared there, what a transformative point it was in their career. And so that, it's very exciting to have been a part of that. But I do, because very few people who will be listening to this call, if anyone, will be looking at doing that type of event, I want to talk about some of the other clients that I've worked with and then the universal applicability of these principles. I mean, direct response principles are used to sell McDonald's meals every day. They're used to sell proactive acne cream. They're used to sell with one of my clients, a $3,100 backup solar generator. They're used to bring people into menswear businesses. They're used to sell industrial equipment. I used to use them to sell IT training. There's all sorts of application for this because these are universal business building principles, and the list really just goes on from stage at Titans. I'm remembering that Jay Abraham, in addition to Icy Hot and FedEx, he helped a candy manufacturer in China who was I think sixth or seventh in their market shoot up to number one and have a giant liquidity event by building their candy business with some of these principles that we're going to talk about today. So this. It really applies all over the place. I've, in particular, and part of the reason Brian tapped me is I've done a lot of work in the direct response publishing industry, a lot of which has been with financial publishers. Now, these are folks who publish like investment recommendation newsletters and things like that, advisory services where you receive trading recommendations more frequently. And as part of that, I've worked with small entrepreneur-led businesses who are where the owner is on the front lines and they're really developing the business kind of on the fly. Typically, that tends to be less than $10 million. But I've also worked with major players in the space, the largest of which has multiple divisions, and it's about $500 million a year company, and it's all with direct response. They don't have sales teams selling their stuff or anything like that, and one of the partners in that business does regularly follow my work. It's a huge industry that a lot of folks don't know exist, but the demarcation point of that industry that makes it so interesting is that they rely completely on business building strategies that don't involve sending salespeople out in the field. Now, their marketing can be a great supplement when products are being sold one-on-one, when you're driving people into a business where they interact with humans. These marketing strategies can work in those situations too, but these are businesses where their entire business is built on the strategies that we're going to talk about today. It's a testament to the effectiveness of strategies like this that you can build a $500 million a year business with direct response and with these business building strategies. I also do work with clients selling physical products. I mentioned the solar generators. Those are being sold via direct mail and online, doing roughly $250,000 a month right now. I believe.
Wait, did you say a month?
Yeah, as
a
we
month?
Ramp that up,
that's amazing.
Yeah, well, as we ramp up the programs that we're working on right now, because it's really just started to roll out. We're looking at likely doing at least $1 million a quarter of backup solar generators. And this is, again, there's not a sales team out there selling this. There's not anything like that. It's people receiving marketing, raising their hand, saying that they're interested, receiving follow-up from us. And it's a program that I put in place for this client. It's when you understand what the sales process is, what the buyer's process is, because that's really more important than the sales process, how somebody makes a buying decision. And then you're able to send out a salesperson. Either that salesperson is a live human being, or it is a packaged salesperson in media. And that may be print media, they may receive direct mail, it may be video media, they may log on to attend a webinar or watch an informational video or something like that. When you understand that these processes and how they work, you're able to apply them in almost any business in almost any industry to achieve that fundamental business goal of reaching your target market, getting them to be interested in what it is you have to say and offer, getting them to become a customer for the first time, and then getting them to develop a relationship with you, a business relationship with you, where you end up maximizing the value that you're providing to them over their lifetime of their relationship with you, and maximizing the revenue that you're getting from them over the lifetime of your relationship with them. And that's what we're talking about here. That's ultimately at the very core. That's how you generate $10 million in growth for a business doing $5 million or more. And if the business is doing a lot more than $5 million, we may be talking a lot more than $10 million in growth. It really is situation specific. It won't necessarily work in every single business. And, you know, I have implemented a pretty thorough screening process to try and weed out folks who I believe up front it won't work with. But if I see the opportunity in your business, if I see steps for optimization or transformation of the business, you know, there's a very big possibility that this is going to work. I'm working with membership organizations, selling to very high-end clientele. This is an active client project right now. I can't talk too much about it, but the market is ultra-high net worth individuals, which we're talking like Fortune 400 leaders, similarly successful clientele, people who have a large amount of wealth. And the reason that I can bounce from a market like that to, say, a mom-and-pop investor and be able to speak with both of them is because, number one, that I understand that it's about process more than it's about content. The universal applicability of these business building strategies is about process. It's about knowing how to reach a target audience. It's about knowing how to make a good offer to that audience. I mean, these are the things that matter most. And then you just need to adapt to the language and the mindset of the particular audience that you're talking to, and bring that back around to your offer. I got my start in business building at the publisher of IT Training Resources. Now I have some notes here, and I want to make sure that I get these numbers right. The company was doing about $2.8 million when I took over their marketing department in 2005. Within 5 years, they were doing $6.5 million. And this was when I was just starting as a marketer. I really had no I had sales experience, and I had a psych degree before that, but I had no marketing experience. And I was, within months of starting there, I was given control of the marketing department. The company went from $2.8 million to $6.5 million, more than doubled. Revenue per employee was $360,000. And these are public numbers, so I'm not divulging anything that I shouldn't. But basically, we were churning out profits. We landed the company in Inc. Magazine's list of America's fastest growing businesses. Not me, but we, because teams always matter, and I'll talk more about the team that I had access to in a little bit here. But we landed the company in Inc. Magazine's list of the fastest growing companies, and that attracted an investor who came in, gave the owner a very large liquidity event, and allowed him to build his dream house, basically the biggest house in the city, because of the success we were generating in his business. And frankly, during the time that we were growing the business from $2.8 million to $6.5 million, he was golfing multiple days per week. He was traveling around the world. He was not tied up in the business because we created so much systematic business growth. We created so many different business growth initiatives that were based on systems, based on marketing, wasn't based on micromanagement by the owner. And you know, growth is important. But what's more important than, you know, opening your 10th location of your store is having freedom. And if 10 locations of your store means you're spending 100 hours a week, that's not what I want for you as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. I want you to be able to enjoy freedom from your business as well as revenue. And frankly, once you get beyond about $5 million, a lot of what needs to happen is to systematize as much as possible, which means getting yourself out of the middle of the business. And that's part of what I can help with. And we're not just talking bringing new customers in the door. These systems for running your business can be as important as the actual process of creating revenue. In that IT training business, my biggest impact was when I helped them create and market a broad-based training solution that revolutionized their entire business. In fact, their entire business today, well, most of their business today, is based on this particular product that I helped them create. What we recognized as I was really getting going in that business was that a lot of people were happy buying one-off training, but ultimately, for somebody who's really serious about their success as an IT professional, they needed access to training on a lot of different technology. And so what we did was we bundled up the training in such a way that people could buy subscriptions to it rather than buy individual training titles. Now, this was based on customer need. I just helped them identify it and then developed a program for selling it, developed selling systems around it, helped them develop the subscription model. And when we were doing $2.8 million a year, this was $0 in revenue. And by the time I was done, it was more than a six-figure per month revenue stream. The sales of the individual product stayed level mostly, but the solution sold like crazy and has taken a bigger and bigger and bigger share of their business since then. And one of the nice things is that the client was delivering an ideal customer experience, a really good customer experience. And so there was a lot of recurring revenue, which led to monthly and annual predictable revenue and growth. Because the systems were all in place that once we brought someone in the first time, that they would continue to be worth revenue over time. On average, there's some attrition, there's some loss. That we could focus on continuing to develop great content leading to a great customer experience, but also just continue to focus bringing people in through the front door, knowing that as long as we brought in even a minimum amount of people through the front door, growth really couldn't reverse in that business once we had the system set up for this. It's really a beautiful model because of that recurring revenue, and that the business has continued to flourish to this day. Just a little bit of insight, before we started in that business, the average customer over their lifetime would spend about $300 with the business, which meant, you know, if we brought a customer in through the door for a first purchase, we knew that they would spend about $300. Now, that number is really important. It can inform a lot of marketing and selling and business growth decisions because you simply have to decide how much of that you're willing to spend to bring a new customer in through the door, and that's a really important strategy. But what we did that has continued to fuel the business's growth to this day is in creating this broader solution, we boosted that customer lifetime value to $600 and beyond, which meant that every new customer we brought in through the door was suddenly worth twice as much over the lifetime of their relationship. So if you're in a business, let's say you're in a business that's doing $5 million a year, and you do something today, you make a decision that doubles the customer lifetime value. Now, that's not immediately going to make you a $10 million business, but very quickly, doing nothing else, as long as you continue to bring in the same number of customers in through the door, that will make you a $10 million business. If you bring in more customers, it's just going to add on to that. So, I mean, these are tiny hinges that swing big doors. So move a $300 lifetime value to a $600 lifetime value, and that is hugely impactful to your business. And that's, you know, part of the growth of that business. Now, thankfully, since then, that was really my first 4 or 5 years in marketing, working with that business. Since then, I've narrowed down my what I want to say. When Michelangelo carved David out of that block of marble, he started with this big, ugly block of marble. I think it was even a scrap block. And he said he carved away everything that didn't look like David, that wasn't the statue that's famous through the ages. And, you know, a lot of these things were in my very early marketing education. But what I've done is I've carved away all the crap that we learn about marketing, you know, things like Super Bowl commercials and having to entertain people for it to be good marketing or selling. No, good marketing or selling should, if you spend a dollar on it, it should bring back a customer in return, ready to pay you a dollar or more. And that's the measure. You know, the marketing, selling in any kind of media, in terms of business development, the measure of success is its ability to generate ROI. Now, sometimes you might want to acquire a customer for 90 cents out of every dollar that you spend, meaning they spend 90 cents on that first transaction. But that's because you know your lifetime value is at a certain point, and you can afford to get 90 cents today because you're going to get another $5 tomorrow. But basically, it's math, and it's understanding how to get people to respond. Now, more recently, since working with that business and really starting to hone my marketing skill set, I've worked with individual clients, and I've gotten similar results in a lot less time because I did carve away that marble, because I understand these fundamental principles that it takes to have a big impact in even just a little bit of time spent with a business. So I worked with one client. We did an online lead generation campaign. It generated tens of thousands of new leads for their business. It was considered a huge success. This particular one was a webinar. The idea was that we offered something of value in exchange for people to come sign up. And then once they'd signed up, we delivered that thing of value, and we made an offer. And that translated to $500,000 in new above baseline revenue in roughly 10 weeks start to finish. So this was you know, a single campaign. This was a couple of years back. It generated $500,000 from having the right strategy to reach out to people and make them an offer, and tens of thousands of new leads, which continue to be valuable to that client to this day. I do direct-to-sale video promotions for clients. I talked about the difficulty in exclusively direct response businesses, in that you actually have to know how to make a sale in one shot, and this is a thing that I do with clients frequently, including, you know, selling a $3,100 solar generator in one shot to a cold audience. It's hard, but it can certainly be done. This is really the hardest kind of marketing possible, but it's something that I've continued to develop in my skill set and my ability to get results for clients in that regard. Email marketing. I know a lot of people are in love with the internet today and the economics of internet marketing. Well, it's great. Email should be at the core of your strategy. This is something that I've done with clients in terms of ongoing email communication strategy, developing content narratives around offers if they're engaging with their clients, building their email list in the first place, figuring out how to make offers that get people to be interested in signing up and being on their email list, doing follow-up marketing for leads that you've generated. You know, I mentioned Perry Marshall as being one of the speakers at Titans of Direct Response, and he and I go back and forth sometimes. We're not real close, but he's definitely someone that I'm on a first-name basis with, and we occasionally email back and forth. I respect Perry a ton. He's the world's most quoted expert on Google AdWords. He has a book through Entrepreneur Press on Google AdWords. He also has one on Facebook. And one of the things that he teaches clients that I learned from him and continue to use with clients is almost any way that you can attract a new prospect or lead to your business will be made more valuable and in some cases won't be profitable unless you have a good follow-up strategy. For example, Facebook marketing. I don't do a ton of it with clients because a lot of my clients are focused on different audiences. But something I learned from Perry and that I've seen consistently is that if you do not have good email follow-up, it is very hard to make Facebook profitable. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm saying you are much more likely to make Facebook profitable if you have good email follow-up. If you're able to get somebody off Facebook to convert to an email lead to then follow up with them on an ongoing basis in order to make your sale, it's very hard to move them from Facebook to sale directly. Same thing is the case for other online advertising that is becoming more and more competitive and thus more and more costly to reach each individual lead. You have to understand the value of follow-up in these different marketing approaches. And this is all, you know, it comes down to being able to get a lead to raise their hand and say, I'm interested in what it is that you're talking about and what it is that you have to offer, getting permission to follow up with them on an ongoing basis. And the same thing applies in all media. I'm talking about online. The same thing applies in all media. The same rules apply in all media. The internet, Ken McCarthy, who taught internet marketing before anybody else was, basically, he calls the internet direct mail on glass because the same principles that work best in direct mail in terms of connecting with your market and making offers and making sales to them and following up with them, the same offers that worked in direct mail or the same processes that worked in direct mail work online. It is just another media. And so somebody that says that they're an internet marketer, I mean, that's kind of silly to me. It's like saying that you're a bus bench marketer or a billboard marketer or something like that. Sure, there are people who make money selling you bus bench advertisements and billboard advertisements, but it's very hard to make money exclusively in those media. And you shouldn't expect to do that in the internet either. That's why I have a network of internet marketing experts and direct mail experts. And another speaker at Titans was Fred Katona, who's considered one of the top radio advertising experts in the country. And he and I are on a first name basis. And so it's all about making effective use of the media and knowing how to make them work together to accomplish the core business goals that are independent of the media that's being used. Also, I've done a lot of direct mail recently. What a lot of my clients have been finding is that the cheap economics of the internet has made it saturated. It's made it harder to connect with clients. It's made it harder for your follow-up to stand out. And so they're going back into direct mail. The least cluttered inbox is the one that we grew up with. I mean, it is a truth of marketing right now that I imagine a bunch of people on a boat and they all ran to one side of the boat and now the boat is not balanced and by going back to the other side, you have an advantage today by being willing to actually spend money on your marketing, but doing it smart because you know that it's going to get you response. Lead generation postcards, self-contained pitches in direct mail. There's a lot of different ways to use direct mail. You can use direct mail to drive people to your website, things like that. I mean, these are possibilities that are worth exploring that I'm doing with clients right now. And then I guess the last thing that I wanted to talk about was one of my most consistent ways that I've generated success with clients is in doing limited time sales. And my favorite story about that was the first time I did a $1 million campaign for a client. And what this was this was a newsletter publisher, and a lot of their customers were spending between $99 and $1,000on an annual basis for their subscriptions. And what we looked at is, okay, there is some percentage of your audience who spends, you know, $99, $249, $999. There's some percentage of that audience. And this is true across any business. So if you have offers, I don't care what you're selling, if you have an offer at $99 or at $1,000 or at $10,000, there's somebody who's willing to spend three times as much, 10 times as much, and it becomes really a numbers game in terms of if you have 100 people who are all spending $100, there's probably, I don't know, 10%, 20%, it can be 80-20, who are willing to spend $1,000. And if you have, 10,000 people who are spending between $100 and $1,000, there is, maybe 500 of those that are willing to spend $3,500. And so this is what we did with the client. We put together a campaign around a $3,500 high-level service. and made a limited time offer that basically said, listen, based on the recommendations that we're making here, we cannot have more than a certain number of people in this program. And this was legitimate scarcity. I was dealing with the types of investment recommendations that they were making. If they had too many people going after the same recommendation at the same time, it would move the market, and that's just trouble in terms of investments. So what we did was we created this program, and we said we have a limited number of people, and regardless, we're just going to keep this open for a limited number of time, or a limited amount of time. It was a 3-week window. And we put together a compelling offer around this service, and we did this time and quantity limited announcement. And this is very much the case with, let's say, I keep thinking of clothes. You know, if a store is doing a seasonal clearance sale on clothes or anything like that, you know, they may have a 3-day seasonal clearance sale. Everything must go. And special pricing for this week and only. And it's the same principles that work, but in this case, we were selling a very high-end investment service. Well, for the client, this generated over $1 million in revenue in 3 weeks. And it just underscored to me the value, and this has happened over and over again, it underscored to me the value of doing these limited time, limited quantity offers to clients. And so it's always best if you're making an offer, you need to have a price. I strongly believe in guarantees. I really, really strongly encourage you to have a guarantee, no matter what you're selling. And so you need to have the price, the guarantee, and a deadline. And with those three things, you have a very strong offer. And you can add urgency to that by limiting the quantity. There's a lot of opportunity there. But it's all about the principles behind it. Now, very recently, and I know that I'm taking a lot of time going through these stories, but I think I'm also teaching a lot of principles as we go. Do you agree, Diane?
Yes, absolutely. I was going to mention the time, and I was hoping we could get to the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's do that. Well, as a bridge, my interest recently, I moved back to Nebraska. I grew up in Nebraska. I moved back to Nebraska in 2011. And although I've had so much success with clients all over the country, I look around and I see successful businesses in Lincoln that I would love to help, and around Nebraska, that I'd love to help make more successful, to achieve accelerated growth. I'm really interested in serving our community. My wife and I, you know, we bought what we call our forever house. We plan to live in Nebraska for the rest of our lives. And so I want to serve local Lincoln, Nebraska businesses, and I want to bring some of these sophisticated but not necessarily that difficult business building strategies to businesses who maybe have focused for most of their time and most of their growth on delivering a very high level of service and who've grown tremendously as a result of the quality of service, and they've done good marketing and they've done good selling. But by bringing these sophisticated high level strategies to these businesses, being able to accelerate their growth and help Nebraska because I'm a firm believer in the power of entrepreneurship and helping your community grow by helping the businesses in your community grow. And so that's what I want to do. That's why I'm reaching out to Nebraska businesses today with this offer, because I want to go deep with a few businesses and really help them accelerate growth. So as I start out with these businesses, the number one thing that I want to address up front is the belief that my business is different. And I've talked about this a lot already, that it's easy for us to believe that because I'm in X industry, because, you know, Roy, I don't sell investment newsletters. I'm not trying to get people to come to a conference. I don't sell backup generators. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Well, ultimately, your business is different, but it's also not different. Every business is different with a unique product, unique surface, a unique market, unique industry, unique situation for the business itself. But the same principles of building your business, bringing in more customers, generating more revenue from your customers apply. You have to target your market. You get their interest. You make believable promises relative to what your market wants, needs, desires. It's not about you. It's about them. You make a compelling offer. You convert those people to customers, you deliver a great customer experience, and you find a way to re-engage with them and sell them again. You turn your relationship into recurring revenue if possible. That can be a huge game changer, like it was for that IT training publisher. To go from one-off sales to predictable income every month and year, I mean, that's enormous. And not just wait for word of mouth, which a lot of really great businesses do, but stimulate word of mouth. Find ways to get your customers to actually talk about you to more ideal customers like them. And in building a business, this is something that I learned from Mark Ford, who writes under the pen name Michael Masterson, who is a partner in that very large direct response business. He has a book called Ready, Fire, Aim that I consider to be one of the Bibles of building a business. And the subtitle of it is From Zero to 100 Million in No Time Flat. And these three steps are direct from that book, And I see them happening over and over again. I talk to businesses all the time. My clients deal with this stuff. I help them through these transitions. Step one, and most folks listening to this call should be beyond this, but you find a way to sell a product that people like at a profit. Now, the specifics are different in every business, but if you do that, usually that will take you to $1 million, assuming it's not a service business where your quantity of customers is significantly limited. If you are the person in the business, that may limit your ability to take that to $1 million. Step two, though, once you sell a product or service people like at a profit, what takes you from $1 million to $10 million is finding a way to serve your customers on a much deeper level. And this is bringing them all sorts of different solutions that complement and build on that first product that they come to you for. And this is where a lot of businesses are that are still run by their founder or founders, that they've usually got step one done. They have step two pretty much under wraps if they've made it to $5 million or beyond. And step three is what will often be that big breakthrough that can take you well beyond $10 million. In Mark's experience and in seeing this with my clients, to systematize your entire business, and if possible, replicate your profit centers in silos. Just a really brief description of that. To systematize your business should make sense to most folks. You want to take things that rely on you, the entrepreneur, that rely on individual people in your business, and create systems and processes out of those. This is selling processes. This is product delivery processes. This is customer service processes, all of those things. To the extent possible, and I have recommendations for my clients on this, you want to make those as unreliant on individuals as possible, especially you, because what takes you to $10 million with you leading the charge as the entrepreneur, and I'm driven like an entrepreneur is, so I feel this pain. What takes you to that $10 million can hold you there or somewhere in the ballpark until you remove yourself from that equation. So that's the systematized part. If possible, replicate it in silos. This is a breakthrough for a lot of businesses, but maybe you want to provide an upmarket version of your product, and you start that as a silo from scratch at step one, sell a product people like for profit. You can leverage the resources of your first business, but creating these silos allows you to very dynamically grow a business. And when you see a business, a gigantic business like Procter & Gamble, which is a huge direct response business, when you see a giant business like that, if you look closely at Procter & Gamble, their brands, even their billion-dollar brands, are operated as silos. There are managers within those brands. There are P&L statements within those brands. It's all operated as silos, and that's how you build a very big business leveraging the success of what got you to $10 million. And so, you know, I can help businesses with that in addition to the marketing and acquiring customers and selling customers that I do. Also, ultimately, you know, we're talking about my business is different. All businesses sell to human beings. Even when I'm making a B2B sale or I'm selling to an ultra high net worth individual or I'm selling a very low end investment product or a backup solar generator to people who are of more of a prepper mentality, they're all human beings. And there are consistent, deep, motivating drives for what moves people to take action. And knowing that for your business, what motivates your customers to take action, and really being able to drill that down and identify that on a very deep basis is critical, critical, critical. And so it's these universal principles of business building that I focus on. Most businesses are far underperforming in one or more of these areas. And my goal is to get to know what unique situation your business is in. You know, that's the unique part of your business. And then apply the universal principles to growing your business. And huge growth of $10 million or more won't come usually from creating a marketing campaign or selling system. You know, certain campaigns do exceed that, and those are always great. But a lot of times it takes looking at the business at every level. So that's what I like to work with clients and do. So look from the inside out, identify those biggest leverage points, and build from there. And so in that regard, I want to walk through what, you know, when I start with a client, what I want to break down as quick as possible so that we can leverage the opportunities. We can find and leverage the opportunities. We want to look at their current revenue, what the trend is of growth over quarters or months or years, how many customers they have, how many of those are recent customers, how many of those are longtime customers, or folks who need to be reactivated as customers, looking at customer lifetime value, both in terms of the dollars spent or generated, the revenue generated from them, the profits generated from them, and the number of transactions. Because, again, if you can make them spend more per transaction or you can make them come back to you more often, all of these are great metrics to have and be able to work on and optimize. And also tied to that, the lifetime value, what are you willing to spend to acquire a customer? If you want to own your industry, one of the best ways to be able to do that is to be able to spend twice as much as all your competitors to acquire the customer, to get that first sale. And the good thing is, a lot of businesses don't think this way. And so if you work out the systems of your business that you have that stronger lifetime value, it is often very easy to be able to spend twice as much as your competitors, but you have to be willing to do it. Then we look at the market. We look at who are they? Are you serving all of them already? Are you in contact with all of them? Should you be serving a smaller market or a bigger market? What's your position in the market? And I say smaller market, and people might cringe at that, but sometimes focusing can generate more revenue than trying to be all things to all people. What's your position in the market? Are you the preeminent source of market information? Are you the best resource for clients? Are you the biggest? Have you been around the longest? You want to look for advantages and disadvantages and figure out what the best use of your position in the market is and how you can change your position in the market if you need to. What other ways does your current market want to be served? I mean, what are you missing and all your competitors missing that if you did that one thing, everybody would come to you? Are there other markets that you could serve, which means, you know, if you sell wholesale, can you go direct? If you sell direct, are there opportunities to go wholesale through catalogs or retail? Is it appropriate to serve a smaller market, a bigger market, to cater to tiny niches? You know, maybe you are serving one niche, but with a 10% change in your business, you could serve a second niche that's just as big or bigger. So what neighboring niches can you serve? Also,
Roy,
you know, yes.
We are running out of time. I think this is really awesome information. Can you give us a couple more pointers? And then I think they should contact us to talk more about this if they're excited.
Okay. Well, yes. Let me accelerate through the end here. So we want to look at the offers that you're making. We want to make sure that those are on target. We want to make sure that you are fully addressing the lifespan of the customer relationship with your business, that you from your very first contact with a lead all the way up through customers that need to be reactivated or when they're referring you to their friends, all the way through that life cycle, that you are serving them in every possible way. You want to look at what can be done what's being done in your sales department that can be done by marketing. What tools can your marketing assets provide to salespeople to make it easier? Or what are you trying to do with marketing that would work best to get a salesperson on the phone? Within the sales department, you want to make sure that they have the right mindset, the right skills, the right tools, and even the right compensation structure. I mean, I've written about that recently. It's something that can be very transformational in customer experience and growing your business. To just treat your salespeople with an appropriate compensation structure, and I'm not just talking about commission-based selling. I'm talking about something that goes much deeper. So you have to look at the entire business strategy and find the opportunities within that, looking at optimization, improving every little thing that you do in terms of the results that it's generating, because there's probably things going on in your business right now that could generate 10 times the results that they're generating right now, but you haven't figured it out because you haven't started optimizing. Ultimately, what you're looking at is you're looking for ways to get more customers coming back more often and spending more every time that they come back. And if you can do those three things, and if you can improve those three things, then you are going to create exponential growth in your business. I mean, this is what I see over and over again within our industry and with my clients. Occasionally, if appropriate, there might be a total business transformation in order. Sometimes not. Sometimes there is. But if we see that opportunity, we can make that decision. Just walking really quickly through this, the type of businesses that I'm primarily looking to work with are folks that are doing $5 million or more in revenue. It means they've gotten to a certain stage where my skills can be very useful and transformational in terms of the opportunities that they unlock and the growth that's possible. I'm looking for folks that are growth-oriented, that are already profitable. You know, if you're not profitable, I probably can't be much help. I want to make you more profitable. I want to generate more revenue and do it probably at a higher profit margin than your current revenue. And so, you have to want more. I do have 7 criteria. They can get those from you, Diane. We'll
sure,
get the contact
absolutely.
Information. But these are specific things that help weed out the folks where I don't think the opportunity will be there if we start working together. And these are just things that I can address up front. And if you're not a fit, you're not a fit, and that's okay. What I want to do for the businesses that are a fit and that are interested in having me apply these things in their business, I want to work with you on an ongoing basis to grow your business. Up to 36 months to create your next $10 million in growth. And we may create a lot more than that. We may come up short. And that's also okay, too, because probably we are going to come up very close, and maybe that $10 million in growth won't hit in 36 months, but it'll hit in 48. because we're doing so many of the right things that it's hard to go wrong. But our target, and it's always good to have a target, is $10 million in accelerated growth. That's above and beyond your trend line in the next 36 months. And we're going to work together to do that. Now, there is an application process. It does require an application fee. It's fully refundable if we find that it's not going to work out. But the application fee covers, you know, first you, Diane, you have a process to run them through, and then me, getting on the phone, discussing how to apply this in your business and identify what needs to happen to get you there. I may, for certain businesses, come out in person. It's quite possible that I'll spend up to a half day on site, and we'll go through the opportunities within your business and what I see. And we'll really dig in, and we'll say, here's how you're going to add $10 million or more in accelerated growth to your business. Or if you don't see that in the plan at the end of that four-hour conversation, you get that whole application fee back. You know, I like you to put down money so you have skin in the game, and it's kind of fundamental to knowing that you're going to be on board. Likewise, I only work with the primary decision maker. If you pass me down, it's going to limit our ability to create growth. Yes, I can work with other people too. I can be an in-between in terms of getting things implemented, but in terms of who I work with on strategy, it cannot be somebody who is not the final decision maker. You know, I need people who have skin in the game, and I need to work with people who can make things happen. But again, that application fee is fully refundable if you don't see how I'm going to use what we've talked about to add $10 million to your business. And then if you do engage me, we're going to look at your trend, we're going to set those goals, and we're going to work together. We're going to meet on a monthly basis to talk about strategy. I and my team will help drive projects forward, and I can be a strategy resource on an ongoing basis. I have folks from all over the industry that have certain specialties who we are able to bring in as appropriate if you don't have the internal talent to do specific things, who can help us implement these strategies. And we will really drive to hit those goals of accelerated growth. And, you know, because relationships don't always work out like planned, we do also have quarterly meetings to check up on the relationship. There's certainly an out if things aren't working out. It's not the goal, but it's there. You know, you're not marrying me for the next 3 years. And I'm not marrying you. I mean, if things don't work out on your side, both of us need to be able to move on. But ultimately, our goal is to come back to that $10 million accelerated growth. And that just provides us another opportunity to make sure that that's what we're still focused on, and we're still focused on working together for that. Now, in terms of how this deal works, I said we're going to have metrics. We're going to have monthly or quarterly metrics regarding your growth trend. I get paid a 5% royalty or salesperson's commission on the above trend growth. So if you know, next year your current trend says you're going to go from 10 million to 12 million, well, my 5% would be anything above and beyond that 12 million. So you have to be making money for me to get money. You get $19 of every $20 that I help you generate in above-trend growth. I get $1 of that. It's set up overwhelmingly in your favor. I do require a deposit against your first $750,000 growth. Again, this is just about making sure we're on the same page. We're both committed to it. And Diane can give you more details. This is how we start work, is when you put that deposit down, then we really go to town on the plan that we developed over the course of that four-hour meeting as to how we're going to generate $10 million for you. It's really a very small upfront investment. There's no commitment above and beyond the initial investment. And I'm going to work with you. You know, there are opportunities in your business right now. A lot of them may come from something like simply making another offer to your customer base, where we could likely generate that $750,000 within months. Within the first quarter is very possible. So what we're looking to do is I'm looking to start making even more money for you and for me as fast as possible. And so we're going to dive in. We're going to look at opportunities. We're going to see what we can do to generate instant cash flow infusions and what we can do to set you up for longer-term growth. And I've structured it as overwhelmingly in your favor as I can make sense for me and for my team. And it really is, I think, an opportunity for businesses that are serious about growth to accelerate where they're at and where they're going. And I really do look forward to working with you as a Nebraska business and helping you grow our business community and our state, our local communities, and making a difference through that. And Dan, I suppose we need to give out your contact information. You are my point person on this, so folks should get to know you as well.
Yep. You can reach me at Diane at nebizbuilders.com. That's nebizbuilders.com.
Yeah, it's.
Did I spell it wrong?
Yeah, no problem. But I just want to make sure that people actually get their emails delivered. It's Nebraska Business Builders, but abbreviated. So NE for Nebraska, BIZ for biz, and builders is BUILDERS.com. Nebraska Business
Great.
Builders, NEBizBuilders.com.
Wonderful. And then my phone number is 734-476-4138.
Perfect. And you can help them with the details, with the seven criteria that we're looking for clients to agree to prior to coming on board. And they can talk to you about that application fee so that they'll be able to get on the phone with you, walk through your questionnaire. You'll have some information that you need them to gather. And then we can set up that half-day interview and conversation with me so we can actually start talking about how to apply all these different strategies and principles and growth tactics in your business and, you know, find out the unique situation and what's going to work best for you.
Absolutely. Yep. This is such an exciting program. I think that businesses that really want to grow, this is the right process to go forward with, and Roy is your guy. So we want to help you every way we can.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, thank you, Diane, for coming on and keeping me in check and moderating the call and asking the questions where appropriate and highlighting points where appropriate. And I hope that folks have really gotten a clear understanding either of principles that they can use right now today to start growing their business, or what's going to happen when they start to work with me and I help them apply these in their business to achieve that accelerated growth. So thank you again, and we'll chat again soon. And for everybody listening, I look forward to talking with you, too, about your business.